already doing it. I spent a year preaching on discipleship, and it's time to make sure that we're putting those things into action. If you know the information, if you've got the information, then you move with the information, right? I live by some principles in my life. One of them is better information, better decisions I'll make. If you ever made a decision based on limited information, that you wish you'd have gotten some information, or you wish after the fact you got some new information, if you would have waited on, you would have made a different decision. Amen. I'm not talking about anybody's wife or anybody's husband, so let's be clear about that. But if you're not married, this might help you this morning. You know, I have a tough job sometimes. There's a lot of things. We just came through Valentine's Day. So a lot of stuff that we do as couples. But how many of you single folks out there, you don't have to say amen, but you know, everything's, if you're single, you can't come to a couples thing, can you? I don't ever want anyone to feel excluded. I want you to feel included. But so when I talk about challenging you this morning, those who are married, I'm challenging the men for your wives. Those who have children, I'm challenging the men for your children. Those who don't have, who are in a relationship right now, I'm challenging you for who you let in your life and what you're looking for and who you're shopping for. You need to put a high value on yourself because God has a high value on you. You need to be very careful what you attach yourself to. I say I live by principles. One of my principles is this: you can choose anything you want, but after you've made your choice, you cannot choose the consequences. So you better choose wisely, right? Choose according to His word. Joshua and Judges. I've been in Joshua and Judges the past couple of weeks. I'm just going to say this. If you watch soap operas, give Joshua and Judges a shot. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Whoo. You will, I predict you'll need 5 gallons of Gatorade to get you through Joshua, because it'll make you sweat. You won't even have to go work out. Your heart rate will be up here. Yeah, it'll get you. And Joshua is it's actually a book where people were serving the Lord. Missing it sometimes, but Judges, oh, all throughout Judges, it gives you this reminder. And in those days, there was no king, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Can I tell you how dangerous that is? Yeah, yeah. Very dangerous. It's a good place to put that word very in front of. Very dangerous to be doing what's right in our own eyes. And I say this about the world's perspective on this. The world believes, well, they're right on this. Everybody has an opinion. But everybody doesn't have truth. That's where they're wrong. Everybody gets an opinion. You get an opinion. There's about 7 billion of them out there. But if we have 7 billion different truths, where everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes, what we actually have is 7 billion contradictions. How are we going to get past that? Joshua made a proclamation, and in the very beginning of chapter 24, so this is the last chapter of Joshua, Joshua gathered everybody together, all of the elders, all of the heads, all of the judges, all of the officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua started talking to them as the voice of God, because he said, "Thus saith the Lord." It's pretty strong. And by the time he gets to verse 14, he ends it with this: serve the Lord. And then he makes a challenge for the people to serve the Lord. But all through that time, for those 14 verses, he's reminding them what God did way back to Abraham, even before Abraham. Now, anybody that studies your Bible, you know this in the Old Testament, there's a lot of reference to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It'll go like that, and sometimes the lineage will go down further. But this is a place where it goes, it talks about Abraham, and then it talks about before Abraham. And he said, "You remember what I did?" And they knew what he was talking about, because it was their storybook in word form. They had been given this challenge to constantly tell their children what the Lord had done. So you can read your children a book, but I suggest you also tell him what the Lord has done. They can handle that early. They need to hear that early. You know, your children need to see you worshiping God. That means that you don't put a show on in front of your children, because they'll figure out if you just do that on certain hours on Sunday. Right? Get some chickens, start feeding them every day at the same time. Chickens will figure out when that screen door pops. Your chickens, your little two-legged human chickens with no feathers, will figure that out too. Yes, they will. It's part of it. Yes, it's a responsibility, but if you know who the Lord is, it should be part of your joy. It should be no surprise that your children, and then it won't be a surprise for you when your children worship God. It'll warm your soul, it'll warm your spirit. But Joshua said this in verse 15. He said, well, in verse 14, the end, he said, "Serve the Lord." And then in verse 15, he said, "And if it seems evil to you," what a powerful word, "if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He's calling them out right there, because he's like, choose the God you'll serve. Because sometimes you serve in this God, and sometimes you serve in those carved gods. And we can look at it and say, that was them. But if we're truthful, there's a little bit of us in there, right? It does not have to be carved out for us to worship. All it has to be is put in front of God. All it has to do is get his time. And the people said, "We'll do it." And then Joshua turned around and said, "You can't do it, because he's holy and you won't do it." He put them on the spot. He called them out. They said, "Yes, we will. Yes, we will." And he went back and forth with them to a minute. He said, "Okay, we've sealed it. It's done. Here's a covenant. You've said that you're going to do it. Now your own words will testify against you." Do you know that today your own words testify against you? That God still keeps record of things? They put up a statue right there to remind them. In a few minutes, we're going to be taking communion. And you know what the Bible says about the bread? He says, eat it with remembrance. God likes to remind. You know what he said about the juice, symbolic of the blood of Jesus? He said, drink it to remember. God loves for us to be reminded of things. Why? We need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. I do. As for me and my house, We will serve the Lord. How many of you ever heard that passage of Scripture before today? I thought so. That goes into a lot of people's homes. People, that's on a plaque. I love that. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I've said that many times. A lot of you have anointed your home. Some of you had me come and anoint your home. But really, you anoint your homes. You decide what comes in and goes out of your home. And that's what we're going to get to in a minute. That's called being a doorkeeper. Watching over your own home. Making your home a sanctuary, right? As for me and my house, what I'm saying, that was way back in the Old Testament, but that still rings true today because we put it on plaques in our homes, right? As for me and my house, but that needs to look like something more than just a plaque in our homes. As for me and my house, and men, speaking to you. Speaks to us. As those who are heads of home, you understand what I'm talking to you right now because I'm talking to me. It needs to look like something in my home. It does. Because there are things that are after your home. And you are what stands between what gets in and what doesn't get in your home. To the best of your ability. Now, I know that everybody's got to make choices. I make a choice for my home, but my wife makes choices. My daughter's married now, but she makes choices now that come in and out of her home. But the bulk of that is on me. So let me give you just a little bit of word picture of that. I live in an HOA. Does anybody know what that is? So those of you that know, we'll pray for each other. I look like your typical HOA guy, don't I? My swing set is for skinning deer. I don't know if yours is or not, but mine. I don't think the HOA understands all of me yet. But we've got this sign when you come into our neighborhood, and it says, no solicitation. Do you know what that means? Because a lot of people in this area do not know what that means. Because I get this, and I'm like, and my wife's like, honey, be nice. That's what she says. I said, oh, I'm going to be real nice, baby. I'm going to find out if they can read, number one. I believe in long fuses. My family, I'm not coming to y'all with a confession this morning. My family knows. Do I have a long fuse? Would you? It's pretty long. I think it's real long. I purposefully, years ago, made the fuse in my life really long with this theory. If I will make my fuse long enough, it'll burn up before I blow up. But I believe that everybody needs two fuses in your life. One really long. One very short. And my short one doesn't come out much. But when it comes to these, it comes out. It's supposed to. I believe God put that in men. So I answer the door. And I go out and I close the door behind me. Because it's my door. And it's my house. And you knocked on my door. So if you knock on my door, I can ask the questions. And they go, I said, what are you selling? And they start writing. I said, let me just stop you. Can you read? I said, because when I want something, I order it and I buy it. And if somebody shows up to my house, they're there because I invited them. And you weren't supposed to go past that sign without reading it. I see it every time I come in, and it says no solicitation. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? They start getting a little attitude. If they don't get an attitude, I'm okay. But when they start saying a little attitude, what do you want me to do? I want you to get off of my porch. And you can go to all those other houses you want to. But you can't come back to this house. And you need to tell everybody in your company don't come to that crazy man's house anymore. And then I tell them why. Y'all, I'm not mean. You know me. This is 20 years we've been here. But there are certain things. And I start telling them, I said, behind my door is my wife and my mother-in-law. And if you won't read the sign that's right there, I don't trust you anymore. You came up to my porch. It happened so much. This is the perfect opportunity for you to push past my wife and be in my home and do whatever you want to do. Just because nobody called you out for knocking on my door. Get off of my porch. Get out of my yard and don't come back. That's why my wife says, John, be nice. Y'all didn't know that about your pastor probably, but I got a little short fuse there. And it's reserved for them because I love them. I'm saying that because the Bible talks about a threshold. It actually talks about a threshold that was in the temple. And on that threshold, that was the dividing line between the holy things and the common things. And the holy things were on this side of the threshold. But the common things could only come this far. And there was someone full time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. There was a soldier that stood there. And he guarded it. Now, there were a group of people called the Levites. Their jobs were to minister, to guard, to watch over the threshold, and to judge. And that was a job that was taken very seriously because nothing was supposed to come across the threshold into the Holy of Holies. So there's something in my home called peace. I believe that you feel some of it here. And I'll guard that peace. And you need to guard the peace of your home. Your wife, men, does not need to be the one guarding the peace of your home. Certainly not your children. I never send anybody in my family to the door. I go to the door because it's my job. And I'm very welcoming when I'm expecting someone. And I'm very welcoming if I know you and I'm not expecting you. I'm a pastor. I have an open door policy. But when someone has proven me that they are not looking at the rules, and then they come, from that point on, now you are posing as someone that you've just proven to me that you're not. This simple little test. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Now, I'm telling you why it is so personal to me is because there are some stories in the Bible and Joshua that will chill you. They actually started in Genesis chapter 19. If you look at Genesis chapter 19, you're going to start reading a place about God is getting ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll remember that? And the check had gone out. God, will you not destroy it for 50 people, for 45 people, for 40, for 30, for 20, for 10 people? And then the conversation was over because there weren't even 10 people. And he said, if there are just 10 people, 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not destroy it. But otherwise, I'm going to destroy it. And then he went away, and he sent two angels to that town. You remember that story? Those angels come into the town square. It was very dangerous to be in the town square after dark. Those two angels went into Lot's home, and when it got dark, men, vile men, evil men, began to beat on the door and say, where are those two men that entered into that home, that crossed over that threshold? And they would have had their way with them. And then there's something happens right there that I do not understand. And I've read commentaries and tried to figure it out. And And I've got an idea, but I don't feel released to share that with you. Because it does not say clearly what happens right there, so I'm not going to guess. But I've got some ideas. But Lot said to get those men from breaking down the door and taking those two angels out of the house to have their way with those two men, Lot said this. He said, I've got two virgin daughters. You can have them. And they're saying, we want the men. We want the men. But just that giveaway right there, Lot's threshold. He almost gives his virgin daughters away to those men to have their way. And the angels actually intervened right there. And they reached out and they grabbed Lot and pulled him back in and closed the door. And the men tried to knock the door down and they stretched their hands out and struck them with blindness. You remember that? That also saved the two daughters, the two virgin daughters. Genesis 19. Throw that in there with your soap operas this week. Go to Joshua 19. Something very similar is taking place there. A Levite has a concubine. He's married her. He's taken her. She has actually begun to play the harlot. She's gone back to her father's house for 4 months. The husband goes after her, is very kind to her, begins to retrieve her back. A long story short, as they start to travel home, they can't make it all the way home. So they stop at a little town and they go into a little courtyard area, just like it was talking about in Sodom and Gomorrah. A little courtyard area. And they go in there hoping that someone is going to give them rest overnight. That was kind of like the custom. If a visitor came to town, somebody would take them in. There's a lot of hospitality. Obviously, a lot of trust in that. But no one came to them. And one old man came to them. And he said, where are you going? Where are you from? And he said, I'm on my way to worship. That paints a picture right there. I'm on my way to worship. I've got my servant. I've got my concubine with me. We're on our way home to worship. He said, where's your home? All of these things. Tribes, all of the families, all these things meant something in those days. But the man agreed. He said, just come to my house. He said, do whatever you do, don't stay out here in this courtyard tonight. Some of y'all have read this story. He took them into his home. And this is where the story gets very serious. He starts getting that knock. People start beating on his door. Men of the town come out, start beating on the door and said, release to us that man, that Levite that came. Release us, release him to us. And the man wouldn't. And the man said this. He said, you can have my virgin daughter and this man's concubine. And you can do whatever you want to with them. But leave the man alone. And this time, just the concubine, the man's wife, went out and they had their way with her all night long. And the next morning, she was laying at the door with her hands on the threshold. How sad. And the rest of that story, she died there. And the story did not end there at all. That's really not my point. My point is the threshold. My challenge to you as heads of your home is, who will you sacrifice at your threshold? What will you let in? What will you keep out? It's your responsibility. You see why I take certain things very seriously. David, who was king, King David, who had experienced everything that a king could experience, he said this about that threshold. So the one who watched over the threshold was called a doorkeeper. King David said this about that position. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live in the tents of the wicked ones. You see that right there? He's saying there's a line. And David knew what that line was because he'd crossed over it. And you could say, well, why would he say that? But let me ask you this. Who better to recognize that line? Who better to be sensitive now, since they've crossed the line before, to say, I know what leads there. Wherever you go, you didn't just get there on step one when a sin is involved. Little steps, baby steps, little enticings, little compromises. It's your threshold. What compromise will you give up for your children? What will you give up for your wife? Nothing. Nothing. If I hear a bump in my house in the night, they'll tell you, he's up. I have already established I'm willing to die, but I might kill you because they matter that much. And I'm not trying to be tough guy. I'm just saying that there's some other places in my life. I have other thresholds in my life. And some of them govern me, and some of them govern my family. And I've been very dead serious about those places in my life. Why? Because God convicted me of those years ago. And I promise you, if you knew what some of them were, you would say, Pastor John, that's so silly. It's not silly to me. Not silly to me. Why? Because it starts somewhere. It starts somewhere. And I've said this before. The kindest thing that the Lord ever did for me was also one of the most harsh things he ever did for me. He showed me me. It was kind. And it was rough. And his threshold is not like my threshold. My threshold holds a lot of grace for me. That's human nature. I give myself a pass. That's what David learned whenever he wrote in Psalm 129 or 139 at the very end. He said, I think verse 44, one of those two. He said this. He said, search me, O God, and know my ways, know my heart, know my thoughts. See if there be a wicked way in me, because here's the human truth. If I just search me, I'll give me a pass. But when I say, God, search me, that changes everything. Because his threshold is not like my threshold. I've got a human threshold. And that needs to become very apparent in my life. When I give my life to him, you know what my threshold needs to look like? It's not wood grain anymore. It's his word. It's word grain. And I can go with the flow of that, or I can get messed up really quick. Really quick. And as harsh as that sounds, if it's in a man to do a thing, if we're going to be honest, if it's in a man to do a thing, I'm in the man category. If it's in a man to do a thing, men, you are in the man category. I don't care what society tells you. I don't care what culture says. You're a man. You need to guard yourself like a man. When you see these things that have happened in history, man was a Levite. Pushed his wife out and allowed her to go through what he would have gone through. I want to believe that there would have been a dead man there, and it would have either been me or two or three other men and me, depending on what kind of stand I could make. But before you get to her, you're going to go through me. That's what a threshold looks like. That's what "as for me and my house" has to look like. As for me and my house. So those of you who are not single, to the young ladies, I say, look for this characteristic in a man. As for me and my house. That's the man that you want. You want someone that will stand for you because he stands under God. You want someone who knows what a threshold is, who wants more than just a family, wants more than just a wife. He wants somebody that he can say, as for me and my house. And we need that in this time. I have prided myself as not being on this thing, but in the last couple weeks, I'm not good on it. But something came up on my phone, and it convicted me. And you know what it was? It's a little usage diagram. I think I got about half of you on that when I said that right there. Y'all were like, my pastor. That usage, I said I prided myself. And I realized in that usage diagram, even though I thought I wasn't on it much, I know how much I'm in the Word, and I'm like, uh-oh, something won. Word didn't win. How'd you win? Hold on. I'm just telling you how it is. This thing goes on everybody's date. This goes to everybody's meeting. We live by it. What if this was my challenge? What if we got the usage right? Shouldn't have to sweat and spit and yell and try to talk you into this. This cannot be the place we live, the where we're at in history. This thing can't shelf life in the next few minutes until next week. I took a chance on something this week. I had something I wanted, and I looked at the bag and realized it had a shelf life that had just gone out, and I thought, can I? And I ate a piece of it. And I don't know, so it was on the good side of the shelf life. It was on the good side of the shelf life. By a day. It was running close. But I ate it, and I said, I didn't think anything about it. So I offered to my wife, you know. Eve offered Adam. Adam offered Eve. The first thing she said, I smell something. She says, that smells something you... She said, that smells like perfume. I said, how can that be? It's meat. If meat starts smelling like perfume to you, I don't know what COVID did to your nostrils, but you need to throw it away. I took the package. I went right over to the trash can and said... And I told her, I said, well, whatever that was, it's in my stomach right now because I done swallowed mine. So y'all pray for me. Lord. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And it's got to look like something, guys. I spent a year preaching discipleship. It's time for declaration now. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The enemy needs to know he's not welcome in your house. The enemy needs to know there's a threshold that goes past Sunday. This should be the easiest couple hours of your week. I get that. But the rest of the week should not be hard, because it doesn't have to be, but it's got to start somewhere. So I told you, I'm telling you, I promise you, some of my stuff, some of my boundaries would look so silly to you. But I know as a human, my boundaries need to start out there. My father-in-law, just because this is not my sport at all, but my father-in-law was excellent in golf, and he took me golfing. When I finally, after many shots, got to the green, there was the cup, and he said, "John, draw a circle around it." Did I draw a circle around it? No. I aimed for it. And I drew that thing back. That ball went down. I didn't know anything about golf. I didn't know how that's like hitting it across glass. And he said, he started teaching me, he said, "John, the putt, you get two to get it in, and that's good. If you got, not, I'm not going to explain the rules of golf, but you got some grace around the putt if you do it right." And he said this, "Learn this, draw a circle around the hole. Try to get inside that circle. Try to get the ball just to stop inside that circle. Then it's just a little short putt in, and you probably can make that." There's a lot of wisdom in that. My threshold needs to have a big circle around it. If you've got a big circle around the threshold, you'll have an idea of what it is before you hear this. I want to see it coming out there. Now I've got alarms at my house. Now I know when someone steps in the yard. Now I know when my little dog starts barking, somebody's outside. Do you understand what I'm saying? So by the time they get to anymore, just so you know, a lot of times now when they come and knock on the door, all the cars are in there. They could look inside the house and see us if they want to. I just don't answer it anymore. It might sound mean, but whatever. I'm like, you ain't invited. I don't know you. We ain't answering the door. We're going to carry on with life because you don't get to interrupt even for me to address you anymore. You don't always need to be addressing the problems in your life. There is victory for you. Praise God. Christine, will you come, honey? I told you in the beginning that we were going to take, we're going to take communion together. I'm going to ask those who are serving if you will go ahead and take your stations, and I want us to be very reverent and use this time and allow those around you. This isn't conversation time. This is time for you to consider the threshold in your life and say, "God, I remember what you've done for me. Your body was broken for me. I remember the blood that was shed. That was for my sin. That was for my iniquities. That was for the things that pop up. That's for the knock of the threshold." Thank you, Alan. Just take this time to let His Holy Spirit minister to you right now. Thank him for forgiveness. Thank him that he made a way for you. Thank him that he is the one and the only one to wash away our sins. His Holy Spirit brings awareness to us to see the things that want to get between us and God. They want to eclipse our lives. And as soon as we let those things eclipse our life, well, what happens? Darkness sets in. It's the natural order of things. So I'm asking you in this time to make this your claim this morning. God, nothing between you and me. Let your full light shine on me. Let your full light shine on me. Show me me. Show me me. God, don't let there be things there that I know shouldn't be there. How do I know? Because your word says it. That's the things. That's the only things we need to worry. It's what his word says. What thus saith the Lord. So we remember the things you've done for us, God. And we're so thankful for your grace. And Lord, we're thankful for your mercy. You're so good to us. If there's one who hasn't been served, will you just raise your hand? Has everyone been served? No one's been served. I had my eyes closed. I'm so sorry. You brought me mine, Alan. So no, okay. If you haven't noticed, there's a huge human element involved. So let's do that right now. Let's take that time. Everyone move around. You guys go that way. You guys go this way. You guys come this way. I thought that was so quiet. I ask y'all to be reverent. Boy, wow. Thank you, Lord. Will you sing something out there?
As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Open up every door, writing on every wall, singing on every room. Jesus, open up every door, writing on every wall, singing in every room. Jesus. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll sing of your love forevermore. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord.
Lord, thank you for everything. We give you praise today. May your word and the seed of your word hit the good soil of our heart. May it produce a crop inside of us that glorifies you, Lord. So we remember what you did, Lord. We know that it was our place that you took. And we give you praise for that. We're so honored to be in your kingdom, Lord. And we're so grateful. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You can take the bread. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You can take the cup. We just offer up our thanks to him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Ask all the men that you will just look at me. Men, there's a threshold. And I can confidently say, with his help, you've got this. It's not a light responsibility, but a responsibility it is. And you won't do it correctly without him. But with his help, you'll do it. Father, thank you for these men. Thank you that you have many precious promises over us, and we receive them, and we will stand. We will stand at the threshold, and we will keep the doors. We'll do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Women, children, married, not married, all your life you'll have a threshold. One day you'll recognize it as you get older. Things come knocking on your door. My grandchildren yesterday grabbed microphones at the end, and they began to sing a song that we sing. And it was so cute. "Jesus, when I walk through the fire, you're right there beside me." And I started laughing, and I'm like, "Lincoln, your fire means that you walked through, that you got in trouble. You ain't had much fire in your life, son." But he was giving it everything. "Jesus, when I walked through the fire." Like, the fire's coming one day. Amen. Yes. You live long enough, fire comes, and you realize there's a threshold, and it's okay for him to get ready for it now. We're fitting him for a bow right now. We're fitting him with arrows and Jesus. That's really all you need to know to call.
Yes.
Jesus. But the threshold's coming, and most of you know what I'm talking about, the threshold of life. And every one of you can do it because he'll help you do it. Amen. Thank you for your word, Lord. We guard the threshold according to your word, Lord. We are all doorkeepers to what gets in and what gets out and what comes through and what does not. And what we make a stand against, let us make a strong stand against it, Lord. Say no to it. Then let us be steadfast. And we're so thankful for your grace, Lord. We are thankful for your grace. But being steadfast is still a word. It's still a word in your word, being steadfast. We're grateful for grace. We're thankful for it. But God, help us to be steadfast. Help us to make the stand.
Yes.
Thank you that you will. Thank you that you have. You're so good, Lord. Thank you for your word. Can you just one more time tell him, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for strength at the threshold, Lord.